I remember years ago, and I came home from college. I can't remember what break it was, if it was Christmas break or summer break, I don't know. All I remember is that I came home to visit my family. And while I was there, my mom started talking about this wonderful book that she had been reading. It was a book about a woman who died, but then later on was revived. And while she was dead, she says that she went to heaven, and she was able to see Jesus, and she was able to talk to Jesus. And later, after she was revived, she was able to write about this experience. She was able to write about what Jesus had said to her. And so my mom, she encouraged me to read this book. And so one day I had nothing to do, and I was sitting at home, and I picked up this book, and I started reading. And it was a very interesting read. And early on in the book, it sounded very good. But after I got several chapters into it, I saw that something was seriously wrong with what this lady was saying. What she was proclaiming to be a message of God, what she was proclaiming to be a message to encourage us to love one another, a message to fill us with hope, was nothing more than a lie. The beginning of her book sounds very Christian. In fact, the book is dedicated to, and I'm going to quote from her here. It's dedicated to the light, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom I owe all that I have. He is the staff that I lean on. Without him, I would fall. Sounds good, doesn't it? And that's what makes it so deceptive. Most of us would readily accept someone who made this confession as a fellow believer in the Lord. However, in the book, she teaches that all religions are necessary and that people need what these different religions teach. She says that people in one religion might not have a complete understanding of the Lord. They might not have a complete understanding of the gospel. And they never will while in that particular religion. But it's used as a stepping stone to further knowledge. As a person raises his understanding about God and his own eternal progress, she says, he might feel a lack of contentment with the teachings of his church and seek out a different philosophy or a different religion to fill that void. And when this happens, we are told, he has reached another level of understanding and will continue to long for more and more spiritual truth. Now, this obviously contradicts the teaching of Scripture. Nowhere does the Bible tell us that other religions are acceptable. Nowhere are other religions said to be stepping stones to the truth or to further knowledge. In fact, the Word of God tells us just the opposite. All throughout the Bible, the Lord holds himself up as the one true God. And he points out the gods of other religions as false gods. He proclaims himself to be the only way of salvation. He proclaims Jesus to be the only way of salvation. And he repeatedly condemns worshipers of other gods. Any deviation from the faith, any deviation from his word, is not a stepping stone to greater understanding. It's a wandering from the truth. It's a departure from the way of righteousness that he has laid out for us. In her book, this woman teaches that we existed before we were born and that we chose our bodies and we chose the problems that we would face in this life in order to grow. She teaches that we were all once spirits in a premortal world and that we took part in the creation of this earth. Nowhere does the Bible teach that we existed in heaven prior to our birth. Nowhere does it say that we chose our life or that we chose our problems. And absolutely nowhere does it say that we played a role in creation. Everything that exists, Scripture says, has been created by God and for God, by Jesus and for Jesus. And that includes you and me. She also proclaims that healing comes from within and that we can create happiness and attainment. The Bible, on the other hand, teaches that healing comes from the Lord and that it's only with his strength and with his help that we can attain anything in this life. It teaches us not to trust in man, not to trust in flesh, excuse me, but instead to look to him. She teaches that people can receive Jesus, not only here in this world, but also when they have died. However, the Bible tells us that we will die once and face judgment. Scripture tells us that we will be judged not by what has happened after our death, after we have left the body, but we will be judged by what we have done while in the flesh. These are just a few examples of how her teachings deviate from Scripture, and you can clearly see the difference between her ideas and those of God. However, because she sounds like a Christian, because in her book she refers to Jesus and God over and over again, many people readily accepted what she had to say. And because she claims that these teachings come from Jesus himself, people were more than willing to believe her. We find the same thing all over the place in our world. We find all kinds of people who claim to be Christian, who can use Christian language, Christian lingo, who claim to speak for the Lord, but in reality they teach us something that is contrary and contradictory to the Word of God. There are people out there who tell us, well, God is a God of love. And surely a God of love would not condemn people to hell. However, Scripture tells us that God is a God of love, but also a God of justice. Yes, God loves everyone. Yes, God wants everyone to be saved. But it also says clearly that he will condemn the wicked. He will condemn those who don't receive his salvation to an eternity of hell. People tell us, based on their own ideas, that babies are innocent and they automatically go to heaven when they die. Scripture, on the other hand, tells us that we are born in sin. We are sinful from the time of conception and that we need God's salvation even from that point. People tell us that we are not to judge others. We're not to judge their lifestyle. However, Scripture tells us that we are not to hypocritically judge other people. We must first recognize our own sin. We must first deal with our own sin before we judge others. But it does tell us that we are to judge. It tells us that we are to discipline those who are in the church. It tells us that we are to distinguish, we are to judge between right and wrong, between good and evil. In recent weeks, we've heard from Barack Obama, you know, and he claims to be a Christian. He says he found the Lord at Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago. And many people are willing to accept his confession. However, recently he has also publicly denied that Jesus is the only way of salvation. We also hear a lot from Oprah Winfrey. And she too sounds like a very spiritual person when you listen to her talk. And if you watch her show, quite often her words sound very Christian. She sounds like a believer. And so many women today accept almost everything that she has to say. And I say women because it's mostly women who watch her show. However, she too has denied on her show that Jesus is the only way of salvation. She has recently made the statement that she left the church because she wanted to find something more inclusive. You know what all this reminds me of? It reminds me of a little something we read about way back in Genesis chapter 3. Something that happened in the Garden of Eden. And most of you will know what I'm talking about, but we hear there about Adam and Eve and how God placed them in this garden. And then one day, this snake, the serpent, came up to Eve. And did God tell you that you can't eat from any of the trees here in the garden? And she remembered what God had said. She said, well, the Lord said that we could eat from any tree except for the one that's in the middle of the garden, because if we eat from that tree, if we even touch it, she said, we'll die. And how'd the devil respond? You will not die. God knows that if you eat from that tree, you'll be like him. You'll know both good and evil. You see, the devil contradicted the word of God. He denied God's word for something else that he passed off as truth. And that's the same thing we hear coming from so many of these people. Somebody like Oprah tells us Jesus is not the only way of salvation when God clearly says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Just as the commands of God led to life for Adam and Eve, and the words of the serpent led to death. In the same way, the words of God today lead to life, and the words of people like her who deny the truth lead us to destruction. We see the same type of thing happening today in the church. You can walk in many churches in this country today and find pastors who deny the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. They deny this, even though Scripture clearly tells us that if Christ did not rise from the dead, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. There are pastors who teach that any religion is okay. There are pastors who stand up in the pulpit each week and they teach that certain behaviors condemned in Scripture are acceptable. Just because they have the right title, just because they are standing in a pulpit, just because they are serving in a church does not mean that their message is true. And in the same way, if you turn on the radio or the TV on any day of the week, you'll find many different preachers and teachers. If you look on the internet, you'll find countless websites and videos and podcasts of people claiming to be teachers of Scripture. If you look around any city in this nation, you'll find churches that profess to be Christian. I mean, it's on the sign on their front lawn, right? You can walk into any Christian bookstore in this nation, any secular bookstore for that matter, and you'll find countless books written by people claiming to teach God's word and explain it to us. But the sad reality is that many of these people today cannot be trusted. Many of these people are not truly teachers of the word. They are deceivers. They are preachers of falsehood. Now, this is not something that should be unexpected. This is not something that should catch us by surprise. And it shouldn't surprise us because Jesus warned us about it. We heard it in our gospel lesson for this morning. Jesus warns us, first of all, to beware of false prophets who come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, he says, they are ravenous wolves. Outwardly, they seem to be one of us. Outwardly, they look like a genuine follower of Christ, but the reality is much different. In reality, they are a starving wolf. They are a person who has come not to bless us, not to enrich us, not to build us up, but instead to kill and to destroy. And we see this warning not only in that one passage, we see it all throughout Scripture. In Matthew 24, Jesus tells us that at the end, many false prophets would come and lead many people astray. In 2 Peter 2, we are told that in the end, there will be false teachers among us who will secretly bring in destructive heresies and even deny the master who has bought them. In 1 John 4, we are told to test the spirits to see if they are from God. And we are to do this, John says, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So how can we tell the difference? How can we know who is a true preacher of God's word, who is a true prophet, and who is not? For many people in the church today, it can seem very, very confusing. In our lesson for this morning, Jesus answers this question by saying, "You will recognize them by their fruits." And to explain this, he used an example from everyday life that the people would understand. He asked them, "Do you get grapes from thorn bushes? Do you pick figs from thistles?" And the answer to these questions is obviously no. He then goes on to tell us that every good tree will bear good fruit, while every diseased tree will bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear diseased fruit, and a diseased tree cannot bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit, he says, will face his wrath. It'll be cut down, and it'll be cast into the fire. Now, many people understand this to mean that the actions of a true prophet, a true preacher of the word, will line up with Scripture. If they are a believer, if they're a preacher of the truth, their lives will reflect that truth. Their lives will be lived in obedience to the word of God. If they are a preacher of falsehood, their lives will not line up with it. They will live lives of rebellion. And even though this is true, there's a lot more to it than that. There's more to it because, as Jesus points out, many will confess his name, and they will still fail to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There will be some who at the end will have prophesied in his name. There will be some who will have cast out demons in his name and done many great works, many miracles in his name. And they will not be allowed into the kingdom of God. Outwardly, you see, they seem like the people of God. Outwardly, they seem to be doing all the right things. But the reality is much different. Even though it seemed as if they were doing the right things, even though it looked as if the things they were doing were being done for the Lord, Jesus never knew them. They were never in reality his people. And again, not to beat a dead horse, but we can look at Oprah again as a case in point. Because again, she sounds very spiritual. She can sound very Christian, and in many ways, her actions appear to be very Christian. As we know, Oprah has hordes of money, right? But she's also very generous with her money. She gives away millions of dollars to help the poor and the disadvantaged all over this world. She uses her influence to do many good things in the world today, but her teaching, again, does not line up with Scripture. A prophet, as most of you know, is someone who speaks for the Lord. A false prophet, then, is somebody who claims to speak for the Lord, but in reality is not. So when evaluating whether a person is speaking the truth or a lie, when asking whether a person is a servant of the Lord or a false prophet, their fruit is not only their actions. Because a prophet's role is to speak the word of God, the fruit of a prophet is found in what he is saying. It's found in what he is proclaiming. The fruit of a prophet is found in his words. It's not enough that they claim to be a follower of Christ. It's not enough that they do a lot of good things, that they do a lot of good works. The words of a prophet will agree with the word of God. They must agree with the word of God. They must agree with it because, as we know, God's word is unchanging. What was true in the days when this book was written remains true even today. Now, a lot of times the way that we think and the ways that we behave, they change over time. They change as we learn new things. They change as we experience new things. Sometimes people who were once pro-choice after coming to faith in Jesus are now pro-life. And sometimes it works the reverse. Sometimes we see young people who were raised by Christian parents in a Christian home, young people who grew up in the Lord, and then they go off to college, and they graduate as unbelievers. However, this is not the case with God. God is all-knowing. There's nothing more that God needs to learn. There is no experience that will change the way he thinks or the way he understands something. He doesn't change with the times. God does not change as society changes. We are assured in Scripture that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging. We read in 1 Samuel 15 that the Lord does not lie. He does not change his mind. And so again, we know that what God declared to be true in scriptural times remains true for us today. And this is why Jesus encourages us to build our lives, to build our faith on a solid foundation. And the foundation, he says, we are to build it upon is his word. The one who hears his word and does them, he says, will be like one who built his house on a rock. And when the rains fall and when the floods rise and when the winds blow, that house will stand firm. It'll be secure. It'll stand even under the greatest of pressure. However, building upon anything else is like building on the sand. It's like building on an unstable foundation. If we build our lives, our faith, on anything other than the Word of God, it's like building on sand. It won't stand when the wind blows. It won't stand when the rains fall and the floods rise. And because of this, because God's truth is unchanging, he would never send a prophet to teach something that contradicts his word. He would never call a prophet to go out and to teach a lie. Because a prophet is one who speaks for the Lord, Because he speaks the word of God. Being obedient to God, doing the will of God, means faithfully proclaiming the word of God. This then is the fruit by which we can judge him. One of the problems today is that many Christians are completely unfamiliar with the word. Even though the scripture is more available today than it has been at any other point in history, even though there are study helps all over the place that are so easy for us to use, even though just about every home in this nation has at least one copy of the Bible, most homes have more sitting on the bookshelf, people don't take the time to read it or study it. They leave that to the experts. They just go and they listen to those who proclaim the word of God. They listen to them because they have the right title in front of their name, you know, reverend or pastor or bishop or apostle, you know, all kinds of things. But because they don't know it for themselves, they can't recognize the truth from a falsehood. They can't discern the truth from a lie. They are easily led astray when a false prophet is among them because they have no idea who he is. As I've told you before, I don't want you to believe what I say because I'm your pastor. I don't want you to believe what I say because I have that title in front of my name. I don't want you to believe what I say because I went to seminary and maybe because I have studied the Bible more than you. I want you to believe what I say because it agrees with Scripture. I want you to believe it because you find it to be a proper interpretation, a proper application of the Word of God for our lives. And yes, I do hope that being your pastor, you have some level of trust in me, especially after being with you for this long, but I don't want you to take that for granted. I want you to always make sure that whatever I teach, whatever anyone teaches you in this church or outside of this church, is in line with the Word of God. Many of you may remember Paul and how he commended the Bereans. And why did he commend them? They didn't just accept what he said, but as he was among them preaching to them, they were searching the scriptures to see whether it was true or not. And that's the same thing that each one of us need to be doing. We need to be doing it so that we can know the truth from a lie, a true prophet from a false prophet. In Galatians 1, you may remember Paul speaking to them said, you know, if I or even an angel from heaven proclaims to you a different gospel from the one you received, let him be eternally condemned. And he repeated that for emphasis. We must not listen. We must not receive those who are proclaiming a different gospel than the one we have right here in the Word of God. As believers living in the world today, as believers who are living in the end times, we must beware. We must watch out for false prophets. We must be on the lookout for these wolves who come to us in sheep's clothing. We must evaluate those who claim to speak for the Lord, who claim to teach his word, and we must look at their fruit. Is their message in agreement with Scripture? Are they faithfully and accurately proclaiming the word of God? Are they living lives that are in line with the word of God? If not, then we have a false prophet. But if so, then we know that we have a genuine preacher of the word. We have a true servant of the Lord among us. And we must do this. We must beware so that we won't be deceived. We must do this so that others will not be deceived. We must be on the lookout so that we might protect our own souls as well as the souls of others from destruction. Because as we learn from that story I talked about earlier, the story of Adam and Eve, you know, the word of God, it brings life. The word of Satan brings destruction. And the word brought to us by a true preacher of God, it'll bring that life, while the word of a false prophet will bring nothing other than death. Amen.